Shabbat Shalom, Stephaniah on Yahweh Yahweh, into Psalm 108. Today on this beautiful Sabbath, awesome, mighty Sabbath. Psalm 108, O Yah, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises, even with my esteem. Awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Yah, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O Yah, above the heavens, and thy esteem above all the earth. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me. Yah has spoken. In his separation I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem. I will mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of my hand. Yehuda is my lawgiver. That's in Psalm 108:8. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O Yah, who has cast us off? And wilt not thou, O Yah, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through Yah we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. And the book of Joel. Book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 7. He has laid down my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He has made it clean, bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Verse 9. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of Yahweh. The priests, Yahweh's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourns, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languishes. Be ashamed, O you husbandmen. Howl, you vine dressers, O, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my mighty one. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your mighty one. Set apart a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of Yahweh, your mighty one, and cry unto Yahweh. Alas, for the day of Yahweh is at hand, and a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off? Is not the food cut off before our eyes? Yes, joy and gladness from the house of our mighty one. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they are in confusion, that is, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Yah, to thee will I cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Chapter 2. Blow you the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my separated mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh comes, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people strong, there has not ever been the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Verse 10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And Yahweh shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. But the day of Yahweh is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith Yahweh, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rent your heart, not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh your mighty one. For he is splendid and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. Who knows if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto Yahweh your Yah. Blow the trumpet in Zion, set apart a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, set apart the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yah, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Yah? Verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh will do great things. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree brings her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, in the first month. Also see Hosea 6:2. We might get there today. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. 28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Praise Yah. And then verse 32, 232 in Joel, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call. Also see Acts 2:16 and Acts 4:12. On this Yahweh Yahweh website, we welcome you. We're studying in the book of Joel about judgment, deliverance, and great deliverance is coming, redemption through the King of Kings, the Messiah, the one who is predicted in prophecy to bring us this excellent deliverance. We could go to Hosea now. Hosea chapter 6. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, or that could be symbolic of 2,000 years from the death and resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. We're coming to that third day, approximately 2030 in that year. There's not too much time left. We shall see as we study Scripture, going to chapter 12 next, as we study that the covenant of Yahweh, his love covenant with us, that relationship we have with him, is also linked to the feasts, that he says that you will keep my commandments, statutes, and judgments, if you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We'll also be going to back to Deuteronomy and Isaiah, Jeremiah, and a beautiful Sabbath day is planned for all of us. In chapter 12, Ephraim feedeth feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increases lies. Who is Ephraim? Well, that would include most of us on the face of this earth that are of the northern kingdom. He daily increases lies and desolation. Let me clarify, the northern kingdom as opposed to the southern kingdom, which is the tribe of Yehuda, the southern kingdom. So Ephraim feeds on wind, follows after the east wind. So after these Eastern mystics. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. Yahweh also has a controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings. Will he recompense them? He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with Yah. Yet, yes, he had power over the messenger and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even Yahweh, Yah of hosts, Yahweh is his memorial. That reminds us, coming on to this feast of Passover here in the year 2014. I think we're all pretty much on the same date this year, thankfully again, due to their delaying of the barley crop, which is nothing from Scripture. But 1 Corinthians 5:7, Yahweh is his memorial, the memorial of Yahweh, keeping his feasts, keeping his Passover. Now verse 12:9, and I that am Yahweh, thy mighty one from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feasts. So we're going back to that feast of Sukkot. We're going ahead in the future to the Feast of Tabernacles once again. And we are keeping it as a feast, as a, you know, Yahweh's honey-do list. He wants us to keep that Feast of Tabernacles and prepare for his second coming. He wants us to keep all of his seven great memorial feasts. Of his great feasts. Some are traveling feasts. The Passover is his memorial. And I then am Yahweh, thy mighty one from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell, or tabernacle, as in the days of the solemn feasts. I also have spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, S-Y-R-I-A, or S-Y-R-Y-A-A, Syria. And Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. So far we've read from the book of Psalms, Joel, and Hosea, and Yahweh tells us to keep that Feast of Tabernacles, certainly a future feast. Oh, Zechariah 14 as well reminds us to keep the future Feast of Tabernacles, but I would like all of us to turn to, if at all possible, get your scriptures and turn to Isaiah 24:20, as we are keeping Yahweh's covenant, as we keep his commands, not as a spiritual exercise, not as just, I mean, there can be that, to exercise our spirits. Sure, that's okay, but not as an end in itself to just keep the law, but the motive of love, the motive of a gratefulness for all Yahweh has given us, especially his gift of salvation through his Son, the Messiah. And also out of fear, out of dread, out of respect, yes, out of fear even, we keep Yahweh's commandments, for he does punish those who disobey him, or who are not diligent in pressing into the kingdom. But not only fear, but of course all these other motives and emotions and motivations are involved here in keeping Yahweh's word. Some keep it just out of root obedience, some keep it out of legalism, but at least they are keeping the feasts. Some keep the Protestant commandments that are not even Scripture, or Jewish commandments not in Scripture that are found in the Jewish Talmud. But that's not commanded at all, and some of them are contrary. They are against Yahweh's word. But we keep Yahweh's law because it pleases him. It actually says that there in the book of Hebrews. We've told you before, but so I can't look all of those up, but Isaiah 24:20 now, or Yeshayahu 24:20. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall, and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Also see the book of the Revelation, chapter 20. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when Yahweh of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients splendidly. Chapter 25, verse 1. O Yahweh, thou art my Yah, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. As we continue in Isaiah 25, that is chapter 25, we're going to read this all the way to chapter 26. So faithfulness and truth. Verse 2, that was made of a city, a heap of a defense city, a ruin, a place of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people magnify thee, the city of the terrible nation shall fear thee, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall Yahweh of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the leaves, or fully fermented wines on the leaves, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the leaves well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations.
It is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Thy faithfulness, praise thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness to me.
Picking up in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory, and Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our Yah, We have waited for him. He will deliver us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his deliverance. Also see 30, verse 29. For in this mountain shall the hand of Yahweh rest. And let's go to 30, verse 29 for one memento. And then we'll come back here. 30:29. You shall have a song, as in the night when a pure solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goes with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahweh, to the mighty one of Israel. Now back to Isaiah chapter 26, 26:1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Yehuda. We have a strong city. Deliverance will Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. I wonder which nation could be called that. I don't know if Israel could be called that today. The righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Open the gates to that city, to those people, to those 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. That it is mentioned there in Paul's letters about that. 26:3, then wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. I missed a word there. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust you in Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh is everlasting strength. Now the word L-O-R-D there was mistranslated in English versions. It should be Yah in this particular place here where it says L-O-R-D. And that's a Hebrew word 3050, Yah, Y-A-H-H. That's in English and in Hebrew. And then the word Jehovah has been mistranslated. It should be Yahovah. And it's Hebrew word 3068, Y-H-V-H, Yahovah. So let's read it again there, in case I distracted you with that, all those details. Details, details. Oh, well, it's a blessing to me. Trust you in Yah forever. Now let's see. Now which one is that? L-O-R-D. That was the Y-H-V-H in that case. The L-O-R-D was the 3068. Whereas in the second place, L-O-R-D was the 3050, Y-A-H-H. So trust in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh is everlasting strength. For he brings down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He lays it low, even to the ground, he brings it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is upright. Thou most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of thy judgments, O Yahweh, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments, or privileges, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor, like that song, Amazing Grace. Well, of course, they used a different word there. They should have used favor. Let favor, or unmerited favor, be showed to the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness? In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of Yahweh. Yahweh, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed, for they envy at the people. For their envy at the people, yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. That also goes with John 3:21, that it's not just that we keep his commandments, period. No, he works his righteousness in us. That also goes with Ephesians 2:10. But I'm looking up John for you, 3:21. And just about there, here. And it says, but he that doeth truth shall come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in Yahweh. Also, 1 John 1:6 is another link there. 1 John 1:6. So back to the text here in Isaiah, or Yeshayahu 26:12. Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all of our works in us. O Yahweh, our mighty one, other lords beside thee have hid dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. And the word lords there in English could be translated as masters, and possibly as, it's not quite coming to me, but I think it's the word kings. Well, my memory is shot, and so is my eyesight, so excuse me, but maybe my days are just about pretty much to the end as far as reading here very well. Maybe we can do something about that. Verse 14, they are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise, therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Yahweh, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art magnified, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Yahweh, in trouble have they visited thee? They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. This is in 26:16 of Yeshayahu. Like a woman with child that draws near the time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in her travail or pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Verse 19, the next verse, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Speaking of that great future time of the resurrection, no, there's not a whole bunch of human bodies up in heaven right now, or spirits, human spirits. Acts chapter 2 should be enough to tell us that. And also Daniel 12, too. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. And that last verse there is a very strong admonition. Verse 21, for behold, Yahweh comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. See, so there is that angry punishing, that negative side there. Praise Yah for that. For if there weren't any negative, there wouldn't be a positive, would there? The inhabitants of the earth he will punish for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So we've read in Yeshayahu there. Now we should go to Romans 8:28 for a moment. Paul wrote this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love Yah and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Also the last part of chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, verse 22, for I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank Yah through the Messiah, our Savior, or our Master, rather. So then with a mind I myself serve the law of Yah, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, the Spirit of life in Messiah, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. There's another usage of the word fulfilled there. or be made full, or to come to a fullness. It might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For those are not lawbreakers there. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. It is not subject to the Torah. It is not subject to the law of Yah, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Yah. Now what is the opposite of that statement there in verse 8? Romans 8:8. So they that are in the Spirit can please Yah. And that would agree with the book of Hebrews and many, many other places too, that we can please Him. Hebrews says that without faith it is impossible to please Yah. So the converse of that would be, with faith it is possible to please Yah. Well, I'd like you to hear a few words from Paul Vigiano of SermonAudio.com. Paul uses the word G-O-D instead of Y-H-V-H, and also he doesn't use the Yahusha for the Savior. But he's going to be talking about the law here for just a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, so bear with us. Or skip ahead if you like, and listen to Paul Vigiano, V-I-G-G-I-A-N-O.
Why are there evil people, and why do evil people prosper? Are these the questions you might ask? Obviously, those things come up a lot. The thing about questions like those, however, is that they don't really make a difference in our lives. To find out about UFOs, to find out, you know, maybe who shot Kennedy, you know. Answering those questions wouldn't change your day. He did not come to eliminate God's law. Matthew 5:17-19, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." The onus then is not to show which laws are still God's laws, but which laws have been repealed and why. You know, hopefully you understand this. It's a big distinction. I don't know if you realize we're really embarking upon a very controversial issue here in terms of the law of God. And let me just tell you at the get-go, there is a whole group of people, probably the majority in Western evangelicalism, who say that the law of God in the Old Testament is functionally ended, and unless it's repeated in the New Testament, we disregard it. There's another group of people who I tend to agree with who say it this way. No, when God makes a law, it remains a law, and the only time it's no longer to be understood as a law is if God repeals it. But only God can make a law in a certain sense, in the deepest sense, and only God can repeal it. And you might be going, well, why would God repeal us? We'll get to that. I mean, there's good reasons for that, and I think it'll become really clear when the time comes. But understand that principle. It's a principle of discontinuity versus continuity. Are those laws still continuing unless we're taught in the New Testament, do not kill lambs, do not circumcise, things like that. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. These are very positive things that James is saying. The law of God liberates. The law of God blesses. Let us seek to share in the disposition toward the law that David had when he penned, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." Psalm 119:72. As I read earlier, he did not come to abolish the law, but what? But to fulfill it. For some reason, a lot of people read that as if it's just the opposite, that he came to actually abolish the law. That's the way a lot of people read that. The law's gone. But when Jesus fulfills it, he doesn't abolish it. Friends, to suggest that the law has been abolished and that the keeping of the law is no longer a requirement for salvation is to say that Jesus merely talked the Father into having a more pleasurable disposition toward fallen man by changing the rules. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, Father, I think the standards are too hard. We got to change the standards. In the new covenant, it's got to be an easier thing.
Thank you, Paul. Now, obviously, we don't agree on everything. Perhaps that part about circumcision there. But he didn't really clearly say which way he believed on it. Matthew 19:9, that is often quoted to permit or suffer divorce for adultery. But the Messiah said in 19:9 of Matthew, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication and shall marry another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which is put away does commit adultery. And we'll go to Romans 7:3 also, and Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, Leviticus 20:10, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be put to death. That's under the civil penalty of the law of Moses. The added law, of course, was the penalty of death in that and many other cases too. So that was Leviticus 20:10. Then in Romans, and actually, except for fornication, in Matthew 19, the word fornication there in Greek is porneia. And if we look that up, porneia, it can mean whoring. But it is defined, the first place of mention of this instance is found in Deuteronomy 22. I found her not a maid. When a man had married a woman and on the wedding night found out that she was not a virgin and found her not a maid, and the tokens of her virginity were not present, then, and the parents couldn't present one, then he was allowed a bill of divorcement. That's Deuteronomy 22, and then repeated in a different way that in Deuteronomy 24. He found some uncleanness in her. Romans chapter 7, verse 2, for the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, you know, regardless of what the state says, one way or another, you know, as long as her husband liveth, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And that was in Romans 7. Okay, now Deuteronomy 4 that you've been waiting for in chapter 4 of Devarim. And we're going to pass the section there, the literal part about the idols. So, let's see, I think it's somewhere around verse 20. But Yahweh has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you were this day. Furthermore, Yahweh was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land which Yahweh has, the Mighty One, giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land, I must not go over Jordan, but you shall go over and possess that good land. In Deuteronomy 4:23, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of Yahweh, your Creator, which he made with you, and that you make a graven image, or the likeness of anything which Yahweh, thy Mighty One, has forbidden thee. For Yahweh, thy Mighty One, is a consuming fire, even a jealous Yah. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Yahweh, thy Mighty One, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Mighty One Yahweh shall lead you. And there you shall serve Elohim, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek Yahweh, thy Yah, Thou shalt find him if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to Yahweh thy mighty one, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for Yahweh thy Yah is a merciful Yah, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. So he will not forsake you or destroy you, nor forget the covenant. For ask now of the days that are past which were before thee, since the day that Yahweh created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing, or has been heard like it? Did ever people hear the voice of Yah speaking out of the midst of the fire, so thou hast heard and live? Or has Yah essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that Yahweh your Yah did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that Yahweh, he is Yah. There is none else beside him, or Yah, he is sovereign. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Incidentally, it's good to look at the book of John, around chapter 5 and following, that the Father's voice was never heard, nor was he seen at any time. So this was the Son speaking here out of heaven to us. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that Yahweh he is Yah in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth which Yahweh thy mighty one giveth thee for ever. Yes. And before I continue with verse 41, this is not a spiritual exercise. This is real. The mighty one who created the nose on everyone's face, on every animal. He didn't put the nose on the kneecap, or the set of choppers, the teeth. He didn't put them on another part of your anatomy. He put them all in the same spot on each human and animal, and hooked it all up, didn't he? Huh? He did all this, created this specially. Oh, yes, it was a mighty thing to be admired. Verse 41, Moses severed three cities on the side Jordan toward the sun rising. So he talks about where the slayer might flee thither. Then 44, this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake. And, of course, he got them from Yah, or the Son, which Moses spoke unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt, on this side of Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt, found in Numbers 21. And they possessed his land in the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. Two more verses. And from Aroer, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even spelled A-R-N-O-N, even unto Mount Zion, which is in Hermon, and all the plain on this side toward Jordan, and even unto the sea of the plain, unto the springs of Pisgah. Yes, this is not just for Jews strictly. This is the Messiah repeated much of this in the Evangels, or commonly called the Gospels. Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. And then some of this is repeated about idolatry in verses 6, 7, and 8. I am Yahweh, thy mighty one, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Did he bring you out of bondage? Well, yes, he has. If you've confessed your sins and repented and pleaded the blood and been filled with the Spirit, that's one great thing about listening to some of these speakers, that such as Paul Vignano, that I can tell that he must be filled with the Spirit, whether some of our Sabbath-keeping teachers and ministers are not. Some are not officially in the office. They're divorced and remarried, and not according to the Scriptures, not according to 2 Timothy. Verse 12, keep the Sabbath day to set it apart, as Yahweh thy mighty one has commanded thee. Remember that. Remember that. Exodus chapter 20, keep the Sabbath day. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, thy mighty one. And remember in verse 15, thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the land Yahweh brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore Yahweh, thy mighty one, commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. He goes into honor thy father and mother. Remember the Sabbath, and remember keeping all these commandments, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Decrees, repeated here in Deuteronomy 5 that I have moved into. And then up to verse 29 of chapter 5. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me. So yes, it is good to fear Yah, as well as the motive to love him, and all the other attributes, the reasons that we follow his word, walk in that walk, that halakha, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments, always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. You shall observe to do, therefore, as Yahweh your mighty one, or Yahweh your sovereign, has commanded you, you shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. There is a symbolic wording there. You shall walk in all the ways which Yahweh your mighty one has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. And that winds up Deuteronomy 5. And we spoke a lot of things today, and even specifics there, about divorce and remarriage, about sexual laws. There's many, many more that are found, that we find those specifics found in the Word, Matthew 19:9, and also in the other evangels. Laws concerning adultery in there in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, and the penalties that were extant then in Leviticus 20, verse 10, and Deuteronomy 22:22. Laws about rape in Deuteronomy 22:25, of prostitution in 23:17, and the penalty in Leviticus 19:29, of seduction in Exodus 22:16. And the penalty in Deuteronomy 22:28. Laws of incest, regulations of incest in Leviticus 18:6 and Deuteronomy 22:30. And the penalty in Leviticus 20:11. Of sodomy, Leviticus 18:22 and Deuteronomy 23:17. Whereas the penalties are found in Exodus 22:19, Leviticus 20:13, and all the way through 16. And I'm reading that list of honey-do's and honey-don'ts in the book Biblical Law from GiveShare.org. GiveShare.org by Richard Nichols, the late Richard Nichols. And further about the Sabbath, that Messiah was impaled on the tree at Calvary on that Passover day, the 14th of the month, of the first month. And he was in the grave 3 nights and 3 days, according to Matthew 12:40 or 12:38 through 40. He rose the Let's see, 3 days later, so that was the 14th, he rose at the end. See, he died at the end of the 14th of that month. He rose at the end of the 17th. So from 14, you jump to 15, 16, 17. That's three nights and 3 days. And interestingly, the year Messiah was impaled, the day he was impaled was the fourth day of the week. Again, the only sign was three nights and 3 days. Messiah was to be in the heart of the earth. So whether you like the Jews or not, or whether people like him or not, or the oracles of Yahweh given unto Israel and unto us, and we have to go by when they were keeping the feasts. And Messiah truly was of the tribe of Yehuda. He was a Jew. Well, this is all the timing in connection with the Passover on the 14th of Aviv. And that particular year, the Passover fell on the evening portion. So fourth, as we count time, it would be on the W day, the fourth day of the week at evening. So beginning the fifth day of the week that year. So Messiah was impaled and died on the fourth day, placed in the tomb. Before, I know I just said fourth day and was talking about fifth, but I think whoever, my wife wrote this, my late wife, but I think you know the timing. You can figure that out. You can do the math. So he's placed in the tomb before sunset on the 14th of Aviv, at the end of that 14th. So read the scriptures with an open mind and truth to the word. And we definitely do not want to follow Babylon and the beast. That's the evil beast, 666. He would think to change times and laws. We find in Daniel 9 and Daniel 12. The Catholic Encyclopedia tells us there is no scriptural authority for having changed the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day of the weekday. They changed it from the seventh to the first day, according to the Catholic Church, but there is no scriptural authority, which they themselves admit. If man can change this one and make the lie be a truth, what other things has the beast system from Babylon made us believe have changed to truth today? Genesis tells us, or Bereshit tells us at creation, that the evening and the morning were the first day, second day, third day, and so on. So how has it become that now the old day ends at midnight, and 1 minute past is the new day? Well, it doesn't. Or why is the new year started in the dead of winter, when the very next day things in the world are still just as dead as they were the day before? Seriously, look at when the Hebrews celebrated the real new year, and when they should celebrate that. It's just prior to Passover, 14 days before, when, behold, all things are becoming renewed. The trees are getting fresh green leaves again, the animals are giving birth, the birth to new life, and the days are longer, winter is leaving, much different from Rome's new year. Put away the traditions of Babylon and do not observe the ordinances of men. And we're about 53 minutes into the podcast. So speaking of the feasts, Paul says, let no man judge you. Don't let a man judge you, especially one who doesn't even know the scriptures. He doesn't know the first place of mention of these doctrines. Let no man judge you in meat or drink, or in the eating and drinking, in respect of a new moon, a Sabbath, and the feast days, which are, not were, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body of Messiah is to judge. And in Psalm 19, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever, and so on. I didn't get those in order, by the way. And in Psalm 81, as I say, it reads, a beautiful psalm, Yahweh makes us strong. I'm reading paraphrase, Yahweh makes us strong, sing praises, sing to Yisrael's mighty one. Sing, accompanied by drums, pluck the sweet lyre and harp, sound the trumpet. Come to the joyous celebrations at full moon, new moon. I think it was inserted there, the word full. but the joyous celebrations at full moon, new moon, and all the other feast days. For Yahweh has given us these times of joy. They are scheduled in the Torah of Israel. And the Torah is found Genesis through Deuteronomy, although you could say the Torah is all the way through the book of the Revelation, all the way through the Word to the Scriptures. He gave them these as reminders of his war against Egypt, where we were slaves on foreign soil. I heard an unknown voice that said, "Now I will relieve your shoulder of its burden. I will free your hands from their heavy tasks." He said, "You cried to me in trouble, and I saved you. I answered from Mount Sinai, where the thunder hides, and I tested your faith at Meribah, when you complained there was no water. Listen to me, O my people, while I give you stern warnings, O Israel, if you will only listen. You must never worship any Elohim, nor ever have an Elohim or idol in your home. An Elohim of, there shall be no foreign Elohim be in you," in the King James. "For it was I, Yahweh, your sovereign, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Only test me." And test him, yes. Praise Yah. "Open your mouth wide and see if I won't fill it. You'll receive your blessing. You can use it. But no man, but no, my people won't listen. Israel doesn't want me around, so I am letting them go their blind and stubborn way, living according to their own desires. But oh, that my people would listen to me, oh yeah, that Israel would follow me, walking in my paths. How quickly then I would subdue her enemies. How soon my hands would be upon her foes. Those who hate Yahweh would cringe before him. Their desolation would last forever. Those who hate Yahweh would cringe before him, and their desolation would last forever. But he would feed you with the choicest foods. He would satisfy you with honey for the taking." Trying to pick up the footnotes here. "He would feed you honey out of the rock." Yahweh's word, the Torah, convicts us. The Torah is the plumb line, the standard. If there are any standards left, yes, there is the standard of his word. Man's laws are constantly changing, as I see this happening in many states and counties. The laws are changing, maybe not for the better in some instances, but Yahweh's laws never change. In Romans chapter 6, we see that we are coming out of sin. And Paul writes in Romans 6:12, from a paraphrase, "Do not let sin control your puny body any longer. Do not give in to its sinful desires. Do not let any part of your bodies become tools of wickedness to be used for sinning, but give yourselves completely to Yahweh, every part of you, for you are back from death, and you want to be tools in the hands of Yah to be used for this good purpose. Sin need never again be your master, for now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you are free under Yahweh's favor and mercy." Yes, we are Yahweh's. We are his slave. And we're not the slaves of sin, but we're Yahweh's slaves. Does this mean that now we can go ahead and sin and not worry about it? Don't you realize that you can choose your own master? You can choose sin with death, or else obedience with acquittal. The one to whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you'll be his slave. Thank Yah that though you once chose to be slaves of sin, now you have obeyed with all your heart the teaching to which Yahweh has committed you. And now you are free from your old master, sin, and you have become slaves to your new master, righteousness. In Romans chapter 7, finally, Paul says in verse 22, that I myself serve the Torah of Yahweh. I serve the law of Yahweh that was given to Moses by the Son of Yah. That's Yahusha, the Son, who set us free and wants us to be free indeed. See Galatians 6, Galatians 5. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Messiah has made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit also." Walk in the Spirit. "Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, Considering, therefore, lest thou also be tempted, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Messiah. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him who is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. Yahweh is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I, of course, reading from the King James now in Galatians 6:8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be wearying in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And in the living, in that last verse, that's why everyone, whenever we can, that's why whenever we can, we should always be kind to everyone, and especially to our fellow brothers and sisters. Well, this is Stefan Yah on YahvahYahweh.name. And if you have any suggestions, if you'd like a longer program or a shorter one, or have a request, a prayer request, anything, please send it to me, Stefan Yah. That's with a Zadi, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H. Stefan Yah at YahvahYahweh.name. Shalom.